Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. For a number of years, Community Care has offered an on-demand bus service to get Northumberland County residents to doctor's appointments and other places they need to go. Back in the fall, Northumberland County Council struck a deal with Metrolinx to provide a commuter service to the Oshawa GO station. It also intended to expand local service to help residents get to jobs and generally get around. Most importantly, it would get people from more rural areas like the townships, Campbellford and Brighton, to Cobourg and Port Hope. It would be a one-year pilot project that would cost $300,000. Recently, the county wanted to promote the bus service. It gave out a six-month update. You'll hear Boyd Reed, CEO and co-founder of Hopin Technologies, and Dan Borowick, Director of Strategic Initiatives for Northumberland County, discuss how the system is using technology and existing resources to make the system work. You will hear how it is going and what's coming up next. I'm so pleased to have with me today Boyd Reed, CEO and co-founder of Hopin Technologies, and Dan Borowick, Director of Strategic Initiatives for Northumberland County. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure to be here.
Before we go too far, what is the Commuter Connect Transit Service for those who might not know? Dan, let's start with you, and then we'll talk to Boyd.
All right. The Commuter Connect Transit Service is a pilot project, that was initiated primarily through a relationship with Metrolinx and in due course Hopin Technologies to offer a pilot shuttle bus service throughout Northumberland. Its intent is to connect the communities of Northumberland with each other and with the GO Transit network in Oshawa, so that it, I guess from an image from a point of view, there's both an internal and an external component to this. The internal one being the ability to connect multiple communities in Northumberland to transport individuals, and also the opportunity to have some regularity in terms of connecting to the GO service out of Oshawa. The intent has always been to make access safe, convenient, and most of all, affordable in terms of a bus service that goes Monday to Friday with multiple pickup times and locations in Northumberland. This is a year-long pilot, and I can't emphasize enough that this is a pilot project, because certainly, you know, the multiple elected officials over the years have stressed the need for an internal transportation network. I think as well, what we're finding with the challenges associated with trying to attract talent to Northumberland, or to get people, or to allow people to have opportunities to access employment, an internal transportation network is essential. And certainly part of this work, and maybe Boyd can speak to this, originally began with a working relationship with the Northumberland Manufacturers Association. Hopin has brought an incredibly effective and efficient technology to the service. And
Well, let's talk about that, because I think, Boyd, this is where maybe you could help us. So most of us might be used to a bus or a transit service. We go, we stand down at the street level, you know, by the little sign, and, you know, 20 minutes after, the bus comes by and picks us up. So that's what we're familiar with. Can you explain how the Commuter Connect Transit Service works in Northumberland?
Sure. And the way that it works is taking a traditional transit bus type of model that people are familiar with. You know, we have the bus schedules and stuff like that placed on the website for people to see. But we take a modern spin to it in terms of how we actually go about boarding those shuttles. Because this is a pilot project, one of our big things is understanding where people are coming from, how people are using it, and being able to create the process in terms of making it as low barrier as possible. So normally, when you are you riding a bus, you would buy a bus ticket, or even with Metrolinx or downtown, you buy some sort of card that you're able to load up and be able to ride on, kind of hop on and come hop off when you need it. The way our Commuter Connect bus system works is that people are able to either go online and buy what we call rider credits, which allows them to board in the shuttle, or in person at local community care offices to be able to pay in cash if that's something that's needed as well, if they're having troubles navigating the website. But in essence, what this allows is instead of having to have an individual physical bus ticket, the process is completely digitized. The bus drivers have a list of approved riders who have bought rider credits and set their claim on, you know, using the shuttle buses at particular times. And from there, they're able to board them on. And once you do board on there, that's how you subtract one rider credit. So the process itself is completely digitized. You don't have to worry about, oh, I forgot my ticket, or you don't have to worry about anything like that. All you have to worry about is getting to the bus stop at a time so you can ride it. So we take that more traditional transit model in terms of bus schedule so that people can see it and plan for it accordingly. But we take more of a modern spin onto it in terms of the digitized processing of boarding onto the shuttle bus itself.
If I'm living in Campbellford right now and I want to get down to a doctor's appointment in Port Hope, how does that work? So I go and I get my either online or I go down to buy my credits and then explain to me, it's on a Tuesday at 3 o'clock. So how do I do that?
For sure. So what you would do is you would look at our schedule and see what service in itself would be the best to get you at your final destination at the time required, right? So we, like Dan mentioned, we have multiple services that's running throughout the day, focusing more so in the morning and then the afternoon times. So you look at our schedule and see, you know, what time we pick up in Campbellford, and then when does that, in terms of following the schedule, will get you into Port Hope itself. For that one in particular, that uses two different ones of our transit lines. So we have the Northumberland line, which is our intercounty line, which travels from Campbellford to Brighton to Coburn to Cobourg, and then our Durham line, which travels from Cobourg, Port Hope into the Durham region at Oshawa GO Station there. So for that example in particular, you would be able to grab the Commuter Connect shuttle in Campbellford, ride throughout the shuttle, land into Cobourg, and then from Cobourg transition into the Durham line, which will take you into Port Hope. The reason why we don't have that full service right there is it allows for more repeated trips on that end. And we have a connecting piece, which is at Northumberland Mall in Coburg.
It's not like I can I do this spontaneously if I phoned in the morning and I had realized, oh, I need to go somewhere this afternoon. Can I still do that, or is it like I have to book something in advance so that I hook up? Can you explain that part?
Yeah, for sure. So we do have the ability for that more of an emergency type of ability. But when you do buy a rider credit, you'll get a prompt to say, you know, allow for about 24 to 48 hours before boarding. And the reason for that is, like Dan mentioned, this is a pilot service. So we want to make sure that we have the available seats for you to be able to ride on there. We don't want you to have to go to a spot and then not be able to board because it's too crowded. So what we do is we ask a part of that that boarding process is to reach out to Commuter Connect. If you do have an emergency, you do want to ride, then we'll be able to do something like that. But in the normal process, we do ask for that 24-hour, 48 window to ensure that we have a space for you. But we do have ability for the residents of Northumberland County. If you do have that emergency, you can reach us out by phone and email, and we'll try to get you on the shuttle as fast as possible.
I'd like to take a moment and talk a little bit about Hopin Technologies. Can you tell us about this company and when it was founded, and how do you got involved with the count with Northumberland in doing this project?
For sure. So Hopin Technologies, it was founded by myself and my co-founder Eric Koh about 4.5 years ago now. The main core business model is that we identified was that to address different types of mobility issues across multiple different landscapes, whether you're more downtown core, urban areas, or more rural areas. One of the biggest issues right now is logistics and coordination. So, you know, our end, we focus and designed a logistics software that looks at addressing these different transportation concerns by taking what we call excess transportation capacity, which can be anything from a charter bus, a school bus, or a rideshare or a taxi, and we'd be able to use those and mobilize them to address any particular concerns. So where our relationship started with the county was working with Northumberland Manufacturers Association with Darla Price there. And in essence, what we did was through a relationship and a bit of funding from the Eastern Ontario Leadership Council, was we were able to design a program that was designed to help Northumberland Manufacturing Associate members and the manufacturers across the county get access to workforce. As we identified that transportation was a huge barrier to allow people to get to and from work. So we designed a workforce shuttle and transportation program that allowed access for manufacturers to get access to areas like Cobourg and Port Hope, where you had the more mass amount of people into areas like Brighton and Colborne. So it allowed them to be able to expand their hiring reach and their ability to hire. And we also worked with WAD and Employment to identify where those peoples are. So where we saw success from that was we led to multiple direct hires from this program and people that were able to retain their jobs for over 3 to 6 months. And then from there, we started interacting with the county, with Dan and his team there, about how we can not only use this for the Manufacturers Association, but expand it for the general public as well. This also was good timing with the relationship that the county had with Metrolinx, looking at expanding Metrolinx reach into the county from the Oshawa GO station there. So from there, we had those conversations kind of spur up. We did a huge survey as well to be able to get the feedback from the individual residents of Northumberland in terms of what do they need and what they want. And what we were able to see successful, not only in this county project, but in general, and why we call it a commuter connect, is that we built the consistency of ridership from people who use the transportation for work, you know, 5 days a week, and then use that to sprawl out and service the public at large. So we were able to find consistency in the commuters, but also use that those kind of lines to benefit people who are looking at using it for entertainment, visiting friends, doctor's appointments, and stuff like that as well. And from there, we designed a line, again, like Dan mentioned, to connect the county itself, but also give access to Oshawa and then further on to Toronto as well.
Dan, I want to come back to you for a second, because did we not have community care running a bus service throughout Northumberland, taking people to appointments and helping seniors and that get around? Can you talk a little bit about that and how we started with that? And now all of a sudden, here's Boyd with his amazing technology and getting all people all over the place within Northumberland. Can you walk us through that?
I think the beauty of this is that one of the foundations of what Hop-In brought to the table was the fact that it's the efficient use of what already exists within community, and so in this case we could initiate this pilot without having to make significant capital expenditures in transportation vehicles. You know, with community care in particular, they should be the poster child for our vision of bringing together people, partnerships, and possibilities, because they've been integral to making this work. They gave us an exceptionally good framework of what the need is, and then on top of that, we've been able to utilize the resources they have in terms of their actual buses. So it's been a great partnership, and you know, key to this was, I think, having the technology which could outlay the scheduling, which is, you know, unto itself a very challenging entity. So it sometimes it's just timing, and the timing was right between manufacturer demand, between an existing service that could support really specific individual needs, between the and also the growth of of bus companies that would make the service available to give us a more sort of fulsome ability to handle a larger volume. So it just all sort of came together. It's really using what we have, and I think that's one of the beauties of this.
So we have community care transits
Yeah.
contributing to this, but I also understand there's another bus company, Eastern Charters. What do they provide in this mix?
So they are there are Durham line operating. So Community Care operates the Northumberland line in terms of that intercounty transportation, which is great as well because they have so much familiarity with the county itself. They actually provided feedback on particular pickup spots and areas that we should be able to leverage, and we do leverage for Community Connect. So they've been pivotal, like Dan mentioned, on that. But Eastern Charters allows us that access to the Durham region. They're a company that comes from Bowmanville, and one of the challenges with community care, more specifically, is making that transportation between the Durham region and Northumberland County something they can do, but it's very taxing on their vehicles. While the vehicles of the Eastern Charters is more built and suited for those kind of long-term transportation because they're used to making trips to Niagara Falls, to Quebec, so they will do those, 8 hour, potentially up to 8 hour drive. So they are a company that is more suited for longer trips such as that on a more repeated basis. So that's where we were able to leverage, like Dan mentioned, a resource that was in the Durham region and a company that was well suited to be able to do that. Allows community care to focus internally in terms of Northumberland County, in terms of what all they offer there. And then Eastern Charters being able to add that support to give the residents of Northumberland access to Oshawa Go Station and further on Toronto as well.
If I was a resident of Brighton and I wanted to get to the GO station, you've already explained really well that I would take the one route that would take me to Cobourg, then I would switch buses to the Durham line, and the Durham line would take me. How long would that take?
So in terms of that would from Brighton to Cobourg itself, that would look at probably about a 35-minute. Don't have the schedule directly in front of me right now. But then from Cobourg itself to the Oshawa, it's another 55-minute trip there. So if you're looking from Brighton, and the way that we've de designed the schedule as well is so there's a level of sync as well. So there's not a lot of time that you're waiting in terms of transfer. So you'll be arriving and you'll be waiting, somewhere between 10 minutes, allowing for a flexibility of traffic delays, whatever it may be. And then you'll be able to jump on there. So the schedule itself is designed to be able to sync up. So there's not a lot of waiting time from a transitional standpoint.
Dan, from your perspective, where are we at this halfway point? How would you characterize it?
Well, we're seeing continued growth in ridership at the halfway mark. One of the other real advantages is with respect to partnering with Hopin is the accumulation of data and in this case, seeing the increase in utilization of the service over time. We did a September launch. We invested heavily in marketing and community awareness of what was being offered, and certainly in a relatively short period of time, I would say somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks, any of the so-called sort of occasional bugs in the system were worked out, and ridership tended to just start to continually increase. In the first 6 months, we have just under 600 registered users that have signed up to the payment portal. Our next step after this particular 6 month sort of halfway point is to begin to reinvest in marketing and especially through social media, the both the advantages of the system and create awareness. I mean, in the Northumberland context, we often get, well, I've never heard of this service. Well, it's not too relevant to a large majority of Northumberland residents who have cars and vehicles who can transport themselves. But there is a significant portion of Northumberland residents who are very much dependent upon this. And certainly, if you start looking at areas like medical appointments and not so much the one-offs, but the one-offs that are very, very regular. This sort of tends to become an essential service for them. We'll make a decision, I guess, once we see what 1 year looks like. I think Boyd would probably agree with me that 1 year may not be enough time to make a determination on how a pilot is engaging in community, especially one of this nature. I think it takes at least a minimum of 24 months, if not 30 months, to start to institutionalize it into the community. So that will be one of those decisions we'll have to make as we approach the fall and see how County Council feels about that.
Now, Boyd, Dan just mentioned about 600 people signed up to the payment portal. How many people are using the service on a regular basis?
Yeah. What's actually great about it, the program over the last little while, is that we're starting to see more regular trips from people. So when it initially started off, it started with a lot of people trying it out and seeing and using it. But a lot of people are now relying on it in terms of getting, you know, to and from work. So what we have is an ability in terms of buying rider credits, you can buy individual trips or round trips, but then you can also buy in essence packs of 10 and packs of 20, where you see further discounts when you're buying it in volume. From there, that's when people are able to use them on a more regular basis. And we're starting to see larger increases of people who are using it on a regular basis. I was actually looking at the numbers over this weekend, and you were able to see, you know, consistent ridership of people that people are using the service regularly, somewhere between, on a week-to-week basis, somewhere between 7 and 15 people that are using it on a regular basis for work proponents. And then you add on top of the people that are using it for visiting family or any type of other reasons in terms of entertainment or medical appointments, and you start to see that number start to increase there. So out of the 500 or so people that are in the Playmoth portal, you're probably seeing, you know, about 80-85% of those who have already actively engaged with our service in one way or the other, whether it be more regular trips or it would be the one-off trips when they require it.
Is there anything really comparable, say, to, you know, the previous community care services that were being offered? I mean, is there any way that we're going to be able to measure this so that we can say, you know, this is really working and you know, we're providing a great service? I mean, when Boyd says things like 7 to 15 people regularly using it, I'm sure eyes widen, because it doesn't sound like a lot. And yet, as you say, it's a pilot project. So what's the measuring stick that helps us understand how significant this is?
I think there's a couple of things attributed to this. If we don't create some sort of internal mechanism to transport individuals, then I think it impacts in a couple of different ways. Trying to attract individuals as potential talent to Northumberland, if they're limited to one vehicle and they need transportation services, there really needs to be some mechanism to get people moving from location to location. I think there has to be a willingness to suggest that we cannot make a decision just in a 12-month period, but need to extend the time that this takes in order to start to institutionalize it into the entire sort of county framework of the services we should be providing. Another element that keeps entering the discussion here is also the environmental impact of individuals using you know, an internal transportation network, as opposed to all individually driving. There are some, you know, granted, at this point in time, it's not cheap to do this project. Just to put the dollars out front, for the 1 year project, Metrolinx contributed $50,000 to the project, because they're looking for data to build a business case, and the county used a reserve that had been in place for trying to initiate this project over the last couple of years, and are contributing $250,000 to the project for the 1 year activity. Now, this also includes the initial setup, the marketing component. So that's sort of the all in price for one year. One has to start to balance that against the cost of ridership. But then one also has to balance that as to whether or not what's the cost of not having it in terms of community need. So I'm not sure what the final determinant is going to be, but the one thing we do have is sort of numbers that indicate an ongoing increase in usage. We'll probably have a better handle on this post the March marketing thrust and see if we could make some significant gains in increasing the amount of ridership. But I think our role is to suggest that, you know, it's an essential service.
Boyd, Dan's already mentioned that this project's costing about $300,000 all total to get it off the ground and going. But how much, if I was wanting to ride or use the service, how much would it cost me to take a trip or for a fare?
Sure. If you're looking at transportation throughout the county with that Northumberland line we mentioned, that's a $9 trip. So if you're looking, you know, your example you mentioned before from Campbellford into Coburg, you know, that's a $9 trip there. And then if you're looking to get access to the Durham regions from either Port Hope or Coburg into Oshawa or vice versa, it's $13. So that's the cost for it one way. And the way that we looked at the pricing model is looking at something very similar to the Metrolinx pricing model, with anticipation of Metrolinx coming in and expanding and building services into the area. We wanted to have price points that were similar to their pricing as well.
Dan, we recently heard the mayor of Coburg say the town transit system was a luxury. What message do you think this sends to riders across the county and to county council about the importance of regional transit services?
Well, I think the more that we can inform community as well as elected officials about the value of this particular service, that we may see that there are varying opinions on the need for this. I think we view it as a necessity in terms of you know, creating community. You know, we often speak of most people think of economic development as purely, you know, just bring in the business and away the business goes. But I mean, a truly vibrant community is one that considers not only the economic component, but considers the environmental component, the social component. It's a broader package. The cost of transportation on an individual basis in terms of automobile ownership, insurance, and operating costs is significant. You know, this is an alternative for providing opportunities for employment within community. So I think it'll create debate.
Dan, what's next for the county?
I think it's also important to frame this in terms of there is an urban rural divide, and that, you know, there are, you know, all the advantages of rural living, but there are also costs associated with it, and wanting to maintain a rural environment with provision of services that will keep it vibrant is one of the costs there's a cost involved, and there are choices involved as to how that's to be maintained. I think next for us is ensuring that we do everything we can to promote the viability of the service that we're currently providing, and also try and provide as much information out that creates awareness about the service. I think that's part and parcel. I also think, just from our own particular position, we would hope that there's the willingness to extend the length of the pilot.
Boyd Reed, Dan Borowick, thank you so much for talking to me today.
pleasure.
That was Boyd Reed, CEO and co-founder of Hopin Technologies, and Dan Borowick, Director of Strategic Initiatives for Northumberland County. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.